Marie Bostwick is the next author in the virtual Southbound Lecture Series from Southern Lit Alliance here in Chattanooga. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., she will appear on Zoom to talk about her latest novel, The Restoration of Celia Fairchild. Marie, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us how you got into writing.
Well, you know, like a lot of writers, I never wasn't into writing. I was writing pretty much as soon as I could hold a pencil. But it wasn't until I was in my early 30s and I was on vacation and kind of almost wandered in practically by accident to a writer's workshop that my life really changed and I started taking my writing seriously. The facilitator pulled me aside at the end of the week and said, "So what have you published?" And of course, I'd never published anything. He, you know, urged me and in fact, helped me and became my mentor and got me to take writing in a more serious way and really look at honing my craft.
And then along the way, you have written 15 novels, 3 novellas, several have gone on to be bestsellers on the New York Times and USA Today lists. One of those novels from a little more than 5 years ago, The Second Sister,
yes,
was adapted into a Hallmark Hall of Fame film.
Yes, it was, which was really exciting and interesting. That movie was called, ended up being called Christmas Everlasting. I didn't know I'd written a Christmas book till they decided to make it into one. But it was very exciting and kind of a, you know, moment of history. It was the first time that Hallmark had done a Hall of Fame movie with a primarily multiracial cast. So Miss Patti LaBelle was in it. Tatiana Ali was in it. Dondre Whitfield, Dennis Haysbert. And I got to meet them all. So going to the set that day was really one of the best days of my life.
And the through line in all of your works is described as women's fiction. How do you describe it? How do you see it? Because of course, publishers and book reviewers and bestseller lists have to come up with a label that can just fit in a little space.
And isn't that a shame?
It is.
I'm not really a fan of the phrase women's fiction, specifically because there's nothing called men's fiction. It's pretty silly to separate it by gender. And yet I do understand why they do it. Most of my audience are women, but I think it's too bad because when we put that label on it, we kind of say to men who might enjoy this story, "Oh, go away now. Nothing to see here. This isn't for you." And that's not necessarily true. So I like to just call my books fiction because a good story is a good story.
And that brings us to The Restoration of Celia Fairchild. Tell us about Celia Fairchild.
Celia Fairchild is probably the character I have ever written. She is a syndicated advice columnist known as Dear Calpurnia. She is really good at her job. She is loaded with wisdom and insight. Sadly, she has very little insight into her own problems. And I loved that idea going into this because I honestly think that's kind of the human condition. We are so much better at recognizing other people's issues and flaws and the directions they should go than we are when we look at ourselves. So that's Celia. And through a series of events that I'm not going to go into too much, she leaves New York and she ends up going back to Charleston, South Carolina, where she grew up and where she has not been in 15 years. Really, what Celia wants more than anything is a family to replace the one that was taken from her in unusual circumstances many years before. And in this process, she's going to inherit a house from her aunt. So the title, The Restoration of Celia Fairchild, is really a play on words in so many places. You know, as you know, Charleston is at the forefront of the historic restoration movement. So while Celia is restoring this house, she's also undergoing a personal, a creative, a spiritual, and intellectual restoration as well.
What drew you to setting this character in a place like Charleston and in the South?
Well, I have lived all over the country. I currently live in Oregon, but I have lived in South Georgia, you know, in Albany, Georgia at one point in my life. And that was when I made my first trips to Savannah and Charleston. And I was blown away. It is a visual feast. It is a sensory joy to walk down those streets. People have asked me, "Well, you're not from South Carolina. Why would you have set a book in Charleston?" My question back to them is, if you're a writer and you have been to Charleston, how could you not want to set a book in Charleston?
This gets back to the confining labels.
Indeed.
You're quoted as saying that you could never have imagined that this book would become the ways it taps into your own experience, forcing you to pour more of yourself into the story than you had ever bargained for. It wasn't easy, but you believe it made Celia's story richer and better and more real. Tell us more about that.
Well, this book actually was written during a time when I was undergoing kind of a personal restoration. After having written 18 books in 13 years, I was kind of worn out. And I arranged the period of time in advance with my agent that I was going to get a break. I wanted a whole year to just kind of refill my creative well. And I did that. I went to a lot of museums. I read a lot of books. I'm a fiber artist. I played with a lot of fiber. I listened to music. I took long walks. I just nourished myself. But funny thing, writer's gonna write. So instead of taking a whole year off, after about 3 months, my agent called me up and she said, "So, are you writing?" And it turned out that I already was. So, you know, Celia is undergoing her restoration and her doubts too about herself. And a lot of those reflect my own doubts. Certainly some of the ways she feels about her readership reflect the ways I've had struggles being with my readership. You know, if you're going to be a celebrity, be a writer, because we're the celebrities nobody knows. And yet there is a responsibility to being a public person and there's a weight to it sometimes. And Celia struggles with that. I struggle with that. Celia also has a complicated relationship with her father. She loves him, but it's difficult. I had a similar relationship with my dad. My dad died during the writing of this book. And so he died in a time when we were not able to go through the rituals that one needs to have closure. So writing this book in a way was my way of helping myself to find that closure in that relationship with my dad, who I love very much, but that parent-child bond, it can be tricky sometimes.
What do you hope people take away from this novel? Coming out at this time, after the year that we have had.
So many people have said to me, "Yo, this is the right book for now." But you know, I've been writing this kind of book for a very long time. But I do think there's something to that. And I do think we need to be kind to ourselves and kind to other people as well. I think we need to take those breaks. And in some sense, this has been a hard year, but I also think that there will be a whole lot of people that come out of it that are taking different directions in their lives because we were forced to stop. We were forced to reflect whether we wanted to or not. I bet some great art will have been created during this time, but I think a lot of people are going to look at what they were doing before and say, you know what? I don't want to do my life like that again. My new normal is going to be a new direction.
And that's what the mission of the Southern Lit Alliance is all about. Why, no doubt, they were drawn to you and to this particular book, how they have focused on literature in the South, about the South, and devoted to lifelong learning. And through literature, offering to people ways to think about new directions and inspire them to pursue those new directions. And that's why you're part of this virtual Southbound lecture series. For more information about Southern Lit Alliance, including to participate in this virtual talk that you will be giving, they can go to southernlitalliance.org. For people who want to keep up with all that you do, where can they go online?
MarieBostwick.com. So my books are there. And I have a lifestyle blog that I write called Fiercely Marie, and I post there about twice a week. That's just something I do for fun because I'm a big believer that there is great pleasure to be had in the small moments of life. So I try to share the things that bring that joy to me in my life with my readers. But of course, I've got all my books there too.
Well, Marie, thank you for taking a few small moments with us here and taking a few small moments through Southern Lit Alliance with the virtual Southbound lecture series.
I'm looking forward to talking with people.